Which means there that you need a much longer ramp for people in order to come to know Jesus there. It's quite a long, you know, 6 to 8 years is often quoted as a time for someone who might first hear about Jesus to come to know Jesus. People are more wary.
Well, this episode is Making Connections, and if you haven't listened to the previous episode, be sure to do that before you keep listening. All right, looking at the mission funnel. So what we're going to talk about here is what it might look like to help make the journey from being contacts at church to being connected to Christians and to Christianity. So let me start with the job of connection. Our launch team has unchurched contacts, hundreds of them, family, friends, neighbors. And if gospel convictions are deeply embedded in our church community, then there really will be an urgency in sharing the gospel with them. This doesn't make it easier, but it does provide the right starting motivation for both prayer and action. Our role then is to provide context and moments where people at church can help those they know explore the claims of Jesus.
Now, it's key to note just at this point, we're not saying that we don't need to strive to help each and every person in our church be equipped for sharing the gospel, for sharing their faith, giving an answer for the hope that they have. We're not saying that. But as a church and as shepherds of the church, of people leading these church plans, we want to continually, in multifaceted ways, be helping those in our church, those we lead, not only give an answer for the hope that they have, but alongside that, we have a responsibility to help them within the community, within the body, equip them to share the gospel with their friends and family, with what we do as a church, with the plumbing we set up. Most people don't have the giftings or skills or the confidence even to take someone from that kind of hay to save moment, from completely opposed to the gospel to walking them through a complete gospel track to becoming a Christian. Mm. It's a unique person who is able to do that. And so our responsibility in leading a church is giving them the tools and framework and confidence and convictions in order to help that happen, no matter where the person is.
Yeah.
And helping them see that they are part of a body that can help them with that. So that is the reason that we are part of a body, that God gives us different gifts, different people, and our role within that is to see those varied gifts and to provide concrete steps and moments for those relationships to both form, for conversations to be had, that lead to exploring who Jesus is. And so for the purposes of this conversation we're having now, this discussion, we're just going to call them connecting events. You call them what you want, but if you see the mission funnel, this is the second part of the mission funnel. We're talking about connecting here.
Yeah, and these connecting events, they seem more and more important, particularly as people become distant from Christianity and church. They have very little understanding of the gospel. They have a skewed view of Jesus, a really negative view of the church. And so I've known some people who are just happy to turn up to church and kind of go from there. A growing part of our culture kind of needs to see and experience the gospel community in a safe way before they're willing to engage in the deeper questions that we're all wrestling through.
Which means there that you need a much longer ramp for people in order to come to know Jesus there. Yeah. It's quite a long, you know, 6 to 8 years is often quoted as a time for someone who might first hear about Jesus to come to know Jesus. People are more wary.
Yeah.
They're further back in their understanding of the gospel. So rather than expecting them to meet us where we are, we want to create spaces where they can see the gospel at work in our community and therefore will be willing to take the next step in exploring Jesus. Now, these events are often the first thing that our unchurched friends will come to. It's the very pointy end of mission, these events, these moments.
They don't need to be extravagant or really draining on your resources, your people, your time, but they can still be high quality and quite engaging and incredibly simple.
Yeah, they can. And they can run in people's houses.
Yeah.
Now, if you've got someone who is an amazing cook, imagine having, you know, 10, 12, 15 people into a house to watch them do that and then eat the food afterwards.
Yeah.
There's an amazing, highly relational connecting event that you can have.
Well, hello, thanks for joining us. Just a little break to let you know about Learn to Lead. Learn to Lead is a one-year program for apprentices, high-level volunteers in your church, in your church plant, and it's a program to expose them really to thoughtful Christian leaders across the country, and also to meet other apprentices and young leaders, and to be able to connect with them. So registration's open towards the end of the year, but for more information, go to genevapush.com/learn-to-lead.
So instead of thinking bigger and better, you are just looking for those relational moments that establish plausibility structures for non-Christian friends. Just those smaller moments. And that is going to happen within the context of Christian community. That's how people will begin to explore the questions that are resounding in everyone's hearts. You want to give them a great taste of Christians and Christianity, because for many up to that point, their perception will have been skewed by the media, even though they know their friend isn't like that. Mm. And so connecting events give this great chance to rectify that perception. And it's that hook that might create an interest to bridge the gap between where they are and exploring the questions they have, and ultimately finding Jesus. They don't have to be a big song and dance. But here's what I would say about connecting events, and here's where it fits within the whole ecosystem of church. They can't be run in isolation. They can't be run in isolation. Connection events that run in isolation to everything else that's going on in church have little impact. Mm. You see, they're part of a pathway, a journey for people down. They're one step. And where you don't have a pathway, where you just have an event that sits in isolation, you always feel the pressure to load that event up with every outcome that you have. Mm. Every hope and dream we have for seeing the lost reach is loaded into this one event. And so you're having kind of altar calls at dinner parties. And I've tried that. It doesn't work.
Oh, dear.
You can't rush people. Your pathway is to help them take the next step. And so that's why these three questions, as you're considering these connect events, here's three questions you want to consider. Mm. I'll throw over to you. What do you got?
Yeah, so the first you're asking is, who is this for?
Mm, that's right. So the question, the answer is, who are you trying to reach? The answer to the question helps you shape the look and feel and vibe of the event.
Yeah. Second question is, what's the purpose of this event?
Yep, that's great. So what role does this event play in taking people to the next step or helping them know what the next step is?
Yeah. And the third question is, well, what resources and what capacity do we actually have?
So this is a really key question for a plant, a really key question. It's got to be achievable. Mm. It's got to be achievable. For any church, it's important, but particularly for plants where you're kind of scrambling around, you want to run things well enough that people have confidence in inviting their friends, but not so extravagant and over the top that everyone feels burnt out afterwards and that's the only thing you can run all year. So you've got to be realistic, you've got to be creative, you've got to look for those hidden talents in your launch team, in your church as well, and then you build something around that.
All right, so we're just going to finish by pointing out some of the challenges and dangers of connection events. Derek, the first one is gaining and losing trust.
Yeah, and so just to pick up on what I said a few moments ago, the first few events you get, they might struggle to get guests. Mm. And now that's partly because people don't know what they are yet. So don't be surprised or upset when that happens, because every time you put on an event in church, you are asking your church to risk the relationships that their friends have, that they've got to live with long term. Yeah. You can do something over here in church, but they've got to live with that long term. So you're asking them to put their relational capital online. Mm. And so you've got to build that confidence. Mm. And you want, when you run those events, you want to aim for everyone in that room who comes to your church leaving saying, that was amazing. Mm. That was just perfect for my father or my friend or my work colleague. Next time we run that, I'm going to put my capital on the line and ask them. Now, once that happens, you've run that a few consecutive times, the confidence builds in those events. It might take two or three times to run it and hone it. You might, even pre-launch, you might run one of these as a test for your launch team to build the confidence so they know. And I'd advise you to do that in a whole number of areas, including this pre-launch, so your confidence level is rising. It may take years for someone to build the relational capital to ask them or the confidence to ask them. But you keep it simple, you do it well, and over time, people build confidence in that.
Yeah. The second danger is bait and switch. So this is talking about event. It's really saying it's a really fun activity. And then when they get there, they've brought all their friends. You give them a really hard hitting gospel message. While it's tempting, you might not want to miss a great opportunity. If you do, you'll probably never get that opportunity again because you've lost the trust of your people. And often those feeling invited, they might feel deceived, which is really what we don't want. And the third danger is this. It's saying, well, it's good for building community as well. So it's tempting to announce at church that, you know, even if you don't bring a friend along, still come, it's great for you to join us. While it's true, it will really communicate that there's an out, that is an excuse for people to not bring their friends, to not invite them along. The event might look good. You might end up with 100 people, but only 5 of them are unchurched and have actually just been invited in. And it's not really achieving what you set out to do.
So that's a mindset thing there, isn't it? People need to see these not just as community events for us and in community. This is a mission event.
Yeah. I think that's very common and very easy to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Finally, here's the last one. The big danger is that these can't be standalone. Now, I mentioned this before, but they just don't work in isolation. And without good relational structures around these things and processes to follow up, they just fall flat.
Yeah.
And they don't achieve what you set out to achieve. There needs to be concrete next steps. And those steps need to be known to not only those who are invited, they need to be known as well to the people who invited them. And in fact, that may be even more important because often the most effective follow-up is not done by the person who works at the church following up the friend who came, but me equipping the person who invited that person to help them know how to take that next step. That's often the much more effective way in order to do follow-up. So your people are going to be having these one-on-one conversations outside, and they invite people to these events. They're going to be the one often having the conversations afterwards, checking in how it went. Yep. Checking in what questions they might have had, what they thought. That could take a long time, but having clear next steps for them, because these events cannot stand alone, is crucial.
Yeah. So connection events and moments, they really don't need to be complicated or resource intensive, but they do need to be very thoughtful and deliberate. And they do have to sit within everything else your church is doing, as we've talked about, so that those in your plant have confidence in what's happening and those that come along aren't in limbo when they're wanting to hear about Jesus.
Connecting event that you can have. So instead of thinking, being a bit of, sorry. Got it?